Golf Smarter number 321, published on February 24, 2012, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
You're either learning or you're performing with Jeff Ritter.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jeff.
Hey, Fred. Thanks so much for having me back on the show. This is great.
Yes, it is. You're one of my favorites. I love having you on the show because you have more than any instructor that I ever speak with. You have so many things going on. It's so entertaining to find out what's going on in your life.
Well, I appreciate it, and I tell you what, sometimes it's hard for me to keep up with what I've got going on, but you know, the thing is, I mean, I love diversity, I love variety in what I do. A lot of times I think of, you know, the golf business from an instructional perspective as sort of an extended version of, you know, the entertainment business a little bit. I mean, you think about, you know, what the purpose of my coaching is, and, you know, it's really to try and help people learn how to play the game better than they do now, but it's also trying to entertain them with interesting content that's golf-related, interesting content that might be health and fitness-related, to be able to tell stories, to be able to take them away from, you know, what they're doing on their daily lives in their regular businesses and whatnot, and give them something that they can look forward to seeing or reading or engaging in. So, you know, that's kind of the challenge that I put in front of myself each day. You know, what can I post in social media? What can I, you know, video for YouTube? What can I write about in some of the many magazines that I've been fortunate enough to write in that get people thinking and have them say, you know, hey, Jeff, thanks for, you know, putting this information out there. And the response I get is always something I enjoy. And it just kind of keeps the, you know, the snowball building, man. You know, I love doing it. And, you know, the last 10 years of my career have been really good. And I'm just fortunate to be in a position now where people are willing to listen and they seem to like what I have to say.
Well, at least I'm willing to listen.
Yeah, at least you are. We know that.
And I think it's fair warning that we tell whoever's listening at this moment beyond me is that you've already agreed. We're going to do two parts here. We're going to make this a two-part conversation, so we'll do a members-only episode as well. But where I want to start on this conversation, because I think everybody has some interest in this concept, especially people who have kids that are starting to play golf, you have recently hooked up with promoted to a position with the Nike Junior Golf Camps, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I'm out in Arizona, and of course, during the summer months, it gets pretty hot out here. So the last 10 years or so, I've been running Nike Junior Golf Camp programs throughout the country. I was doing them up in New York and then some spots in northern Arizona and Wisconsin. I did some in San Diego, and, you know, it was just sort of a one-off thing. It was a week here or a week there, a nice way for me to get out of town. And, you know, as my, presence in the game grew a little bit, you know, I got to know those guys on a much deeper level. So, just a few months ago, they named me a national director of instruction for Nike Golf Schools and Junior Camps. So, something I'm really excited about, and it's a platform to try and take junior golf, you know, to the next level. I mean, a lot of junior programs that were really thriving, you know, back in the day, they sort of, you know, lost their way a little bit. You know, I grew up in a small town, and the golf club that I grew up at, you know, we had junior memberships where for $300. As long as you had a member sponsor you, you didn't have to be a member of the club, but you got a junior membership. And you got to play this beautiful country club every day. And we had a really cool program. Jim Furyk was on my high school golf team. He was in that junior program. And I can count about five or six people that were, you know, part of my junior golf group each day, just playing golf at the golf course, where we all went into the golf industry as either players or coaches or, you know, people that were working with you know, different golf associations. So I think that nowadays, you know, facilities are so concerned with filling tee times, and a lot of times people think of, you know, the junior market as maybe a bit of a nuisance, so to speak, that these opportunities aren't quite there as often as you like them to be. So with Nike, we're trying to take this thing and really blow it up on a global level and really try and, you know, throw some more empowerment back towards the way of the kids. And my first order of business is the Nike Junior Golf Monterey program, which is located right in Pebble Beach, California. So we're going to do 6 weeks of camp this summer. 2 weeks are dedicated towards advanced players. And it's really a dream experience for junior golfers. The kids are going to play Spyglass. They're going to play Poppy Hills. They're going to play Del Monte. They're going to play a Bayonet, Rancho Cañada, the Peter Hay par 3 course right at Pebble Beach. We do campfires in the evening, one night per week on Pebble Beach, where we have a little cookout with the kids. And, you know, on top of that, you know, just amazing experience and atmosphere to be there. You know, I put together a stable of coaches, which are, in my opinion, some of the best coaches from all over the world. I kind of got lucky here because it's such a great destination that I was able to get a lot of my peers that are really top pros to be there for the kids. And, you know, a lot of times when you're looking at a camp, you're not quite sure what the level of coaching is going to be across the board. But what we put together with this Nike Junior Golf Monterey program, you know, we've got Kate Monroe there preaching golf nutrition. Kate's now the energy content provider for the first tee program, so she's getting much more involved with golf in general. We've got Mike Bury with Golf Infusion magazine. He has amazing junior golf programs down in Dallas. He's actually going to be there during our advanced weeks. We've got people in the health and fitness industry coming in as well, sports psychology. So I kind of wish I was 12 years old again.
Because, yeah, well, that was my question. Is it a kid at heart, or do you have specific ages? Because I want to sign up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, it's a sleepover camp, you know, so I think the best age would be somewhere in that 12 to 17 or 18-year-old range. Mm-hmm.
How long is the session?
It's going to run 5 days. You know, it runs Sunday through Friday. Okay. You know, we have a lot of kids that come multiple weeks. We have a lot of international kids that come out, you know, because they want that Pebble Beach experience. But, you know, we're really trying to make this an integrated coaching effort where, you know, they learn how to play and improve their games from some top coaches. We give them clinics on trying to prepare for college golf. We use the game from a life coaching standpoint to really help them institute powerful life lessons that can help them not only play better but live better. We're showing them how what they eat and what they consume affects their energy level, how they feel, how they perform, how well they sleep. And, you know, you're never too young to get into those types of things. And I think a lot of times with kids in particular, parents feel like, oh, you know what, you know, Johnny's not too heavy. He can eat whatever he wants. You know, oh, you know, he's just a kid. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, how he thinks as it relates to peak performance and how it relates to how he might be able to do better on his SATs or, you know, and get his preferred job in life. And, you know, I think that a lot of times,
I'm as a parent, if I know someone who's going to be going to a camp like that, I mean, this is not beginner's golf, right? These are kids who are already playing competitive golf, mostly.
Well, in the advanced camps, I'd say they are, but actually, for the other weeks,
so those parents, they're not the ones that are going. You can eat whatever you want.
You would be, Fred. I'll tell you what. I mean, in the 10 years that I've been going to these camps and running them, these kids show up with truckloads of garbage food. It is unbelievable.
Well, they consume truckloads of food.
They do. So basically, you know, a lot of times, from a coaching perspective, you know, I try and get these kids to learn about, you know, the lessons of accountability, you know, to understand how everything they do in life is a choice, mm-hmm. and their choices lead to outcomes or results. And if they want to live powerfully for a lifetime, either on or off the course, I mean, there's some things that you can do now at a very young age to start instilling those positive habits, and it's never too young. So we're excited to, you know, maybe provide parents with, you know, the excitement and also peace of mind that when they drop their kids off, it's not just about, you know, beating golf balls for a week. It's about all these little things that can really help them in everything that they do.
Awesome. Well, you know, this is not the forum for that part of this conversation, but I have my own 3 R's about raising children, you know, beyond the reading, writing, arithmetic. But I just wanted to warn you that, you know, coming from Arizona especially, don't plan on bringing lots of shorts with you. Bring long pants and warm clothes, because Monterey in the summer is not going to be that hot.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm most excited about. That's what I'm most excited about. So
getting out of the desert, man. No summer.
The summers here are so they're so long. They just never seem to end. Just when you think that you could be watching an NFL game on TV in end of September, and you know you see a stadium full of people wearing parkas, and it's, you know, they got flurries in Green Bay, and you walk outside and it's still 112. It's brutal.
Well, watch the games during the summer in San Francisco, and they're wearing parkas.
Yeah.
So with the camp, again, I was saying these are not beginner golfers. These are kids who are already on a competitive level, I assume. So,
well, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, really? we have two weeks that are advanced.
Oh, you know, okay.
And then the rest of the weeks are for kids that are interested in the game, and I would say that they're at least avid on the level where it's something that they want to do on a regular basis. You know, even if they get to the golf course, you know, once a week in the summertime, or maybe even once every 2 weeks, as long as they understand that when they come out there, you know, we're going to have, you know, 3 hours of coaching in the morning, and then we're going to have some lunch, and then we're going to play as much golf as we can until they kick us off the course. So
for 12 to 18-year-olds, these are ones, and again, I'm speaking from my experience parenting, that they've already been to camp at least one summer, and many of them have gone to sleepaway camps. So they know what they're getting into. If they're agreeing to go for a week to a golf camp, I think the kids would have some sense of, you know, what's going to be involved. And they agree to it with their parents.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we've got some great housing quarters. We're actually staying at the Robert Louis Stevenson School. It's located right within the gates of Pebble Beach. It's a very prestigious prep school. And, you know, they just have a lot of great amenities. The dorms are fantastic. It's a very safe environment, an engaging environment. When parents go there, I think they're really excited about, you know, the fact that they decided to, you know, engage the Nike Junior Golf Camps program out there at Pebble Beach.
And how can people learn more? Where would they go to sign up, get brochure information, show their kids if they wanted to get involved with this?
They can go to the website. Is ussportscamps.com/golf. It's the fastest way to get to the Pebble Beach.
ussportscamps.com/golf.
Yeah, so it'll be it'll be listed under Pebble Beach or Nike Junior Golf Monterey. Sometimes those things are synonymous. And then of course 1-800 Nike Camp would be the 1-800 call in hotline, so to speak, where they can get some great information. Another thing that I've done to try and really bolster interest in the program is I've committed, and you know I love doing video, Fred.
Yes, I know.
I've committed to putting together 100 coaching videos between now and the start of camp, which are all junior golf related. I'm shooting them here on location at my academy at the Raven Golf Club Phoenix. But so far we're about 12 deep, and each day I'm just committing to going out there and trying to knock some of these out. And you know, they're all about the things we talked about. They're about the technical side. They're about building a foundation to play better. You know, they're about the health and nutrition side, the mental attitude. So really trying to take the YouTube channel, which has been such a big success for me, and really make it a platform for parents and kids to get on there and maybe get excited. It seems like there's tips for everyone, but there don't seem to be a whole lot of tips for kids out there in the YouTube platform, so to speak. So I'm going to try and change that.
Well, we're going to get into now lessons for the adults in the audience, and as well as myself. But I need to take this break because, as I've told you before, this episode of the Golf Smarter podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. And Audible would like to give Golf Smarter listeners an opportunity to check it out themselves. You can get a free audiobook of your choice from their incredible library. And I think that I'd like to discuss with you a selection. Actually, I know that you're big into self-help and self-improvement and stuff. And I was just starting to get involved in a book, and I've been hearing this story about Louis Zamperini, the book Unbroken. Are you familiar with that book?
It's funny you mention that because, you know, I get Success Magazine every month. It's just something that I enjoy reading. It's, you know, inspiring and whatnot. And the thing I like most about Success is they always give you these audio CDs that you can listen to. And a couple months ago, they actually had Louis Zamperini on there as well. I mean, he was actually talking about, you know, firsthand his life experience. And then, of course, the book, which became Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand. And I believe it's being made into a major motion picture as well. So,
oh, wow.
So it was
listen,
really cool.
Listen to the audiobook before the movie comes out. It's an amazing story, and it's not a golf story. We're not. This is just
not
outside of golf. No. And I love this one line. It really gets you. On a May afternoon in 1943, an Army Air Force bomber crashes into the Pacific Ocean and disappears, leaving only a spray of debris and a slick of oil, gasoline, and blood. And it kind of picks up from there. and it's the guy's story through World War II and how he survived it. And, you know, who he was as a kid and going in through the war. It's an amazing, amazing story. It's called Unbroken, a World War II story of survival, resilience, and redemption, as you mentioned, by Laura Hillenbrand, right? And
that's right.
Anybody can get that book. If that's the one they want to start with at audible.com, it's free. Just go ahead there to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and sign up for an account. And the first book for you is free. And I appreciate Audible sponsoring Golf Smarter Podcast and for you to take advantage of it. Again, it's Audible, AUDIBLE, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Now, Jeff, you introduced me to somebody who we had on the show recently, and I really enjoyed talking to him, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback and questions for Martin Chuck of Tour Striker. And I understand that you and Martin are starting to do some teaching together. You're putting an academy together?
Yeah, actually, you know, Martin and I have been good friends since our college days at New Mexico State University.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been teaching for a long time now, and Martin has found great success with his Tour Striker brand of training products. And,
amazing.
Yeah, there's a golf management company called OB Sports. They run about 50 courses throughout the country, and they were actually the management company that was running my former location, which was the ASU Carston Golf Course. I was there for 11 years. And they were also managing the place that Martin was, which was Tetherow up in Bend, Oregon. And you know, I was looking to move into maybe a slightly bigger facility. You know, the Raven's a little bit different from ASU Carston. ASU Carston's a phenomenal facility, but the Raven gave me some things that Carston, you know, didn't have from a facility size perspective, a resource perspective. And I was just kind of ready for a little bit of a change. And Martin was also looking for a place to teach in the desert to get out of Bend, of course, during the winters. And the OB Sports was actually talking to both of us about the same position, which was kind of funny. And they didn't know that he and I were good buddies from back in the day. So we kind of got wind of it and we said, hey, you know, we like each other. We've worked well together in the past. And we think that, you know, together we could create a program that's even bigger and more special than we possibly could working individually. So we opened up about 2 months ago down at the Raven Golf Club Phoenix. We hired a great staff of coaches to work on our behalf, and pretty much we're trying to put together the best possible learning environment with the best technology and the best resources that Arizona or any other place in the world has, for that matter. So we're trying to go big, man, and we're excited about it. And so far, the response has been fantastic to what we've been putting together.
You know, off the top of my head, and this is probably a bad thing to be saying because I may be making a commitment, but I would love. Let's ask this: how many people in a class? How many in your groups?
Well, you know, it all depends. I mean, we have programs that are ongoing. We have a junior All-American program, which is a program that runs 5 days a week, every day after school. So those classes can be as high as 10 to 15 kids, depending on how many coaches we have running them.
Oh, this is a kids camp, or is this, I mean,
well, this is just one particular program. This is one class.
What about for me?
For you,
for us hackers out there, for those guys who need more lessons.
Well, hang on, Fred. You didn't let me get to all the other programs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Martin and I, we also do run some co-branded golf schools together, which operate on about a 4-to-1 ratio. So it really all just depends on, you know, how much interest we have for a particular program and then how many coaches we're going to allocate to that. But we really try and do a very small student-teacher ratio for a school perspective because, you know, it's all about that connection point. You know, it's one thing to get the information, but to be able to enact positive change in your game, you know, throughout the game, so to speak, you want to feel like your coach is there and communicating, and it's not just a clinic talk and then you're off hitting balls on your own. So we like to be hands-on, and that's how we do it.
So it is both Martin and you doing the instruction. You're not farming this out to other instructors.
No, and we have two other coaches that assist us in these programs. But you know, if we schedule something as Martin and Jeff, then Martin and Jeff are going to be there.
So if like 4 or 5 students is what you look for? Or?
You know, per coach. I mean, for example, if it's Martin and I, then we can take as many as 8 students with that 4-to-1 ratio. We can go up to 12. We can go up to 16. And what the thing is that with our other coaches, you know, we can make the group a lot bigger, but you're still getting coaching directly from Martin and myself, you know, throughout each rotation and throughout the program.
And a minimum amount of time, was it a weekend or?
You know, for one of the schools I'm discussing here, they're mostly 2-day schools. We'll have you roll into town, you know, the evening before school starts, you know, have a little meet and greet, and then we have just 2 great days together. So, you know, kind of like the time that we spent together when you came down and we had dinner. Right. We really like it to be not just the coaching aspect of it, but the relationship building aspect. And when people come out and they want to, you know, commit their resources to spending 2 days, I mean, we're going to work hard for them. We're going to give them 2 days of the best coaching we can put out, but we're also going to give them the most of our time, whether it's, you know, on the golf course or having breakfast in the morning or maybe doing something in the evening. We want them to leave and go home and say, that's the best thing I ever did. So,
So now I think you see where I'm going with this. Do you? You get the sense where I'm headed with this idea? I mean, if I'm just going to throw this out there, it's nothing organized, it's nothing planned, but maybe if we get enough traction on this, if I can say, hey, listen, if you're listening and this sounds at all intriguing to you as it does to me, I would love to, I mean, we had dinner with Jeff, but I want to work with Jeff and have him work with me. And the thought of having Jeff and Martin together working with me sounds even more compelling. So maybe if you're a Golf Smarter listener and you would like to do a couple days of instructions with these guys, why don't you click on the Hey Fred button and send me an email and say, yeah, I'd be interested in doing that for a couple days. And maybe we can get a small group together to come down and do this. Is that an idea?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're all about, you know, better golf. We're all about entertainment. We're all about, you know, keeping our minds open to the things that, you know, the consumer is looking for. You know, so part of the fun about teaching is finding new and creative ways to connect with people. And, you know, one thing that we're doing, which is, you know, in my opinion, quite a bit different from maybe what some other facilities do or are doing, is that we actually open up our lesson tee to other top coaches who want to come down and utilize our facility along with Martin and myself to try and give our students more of an opportunity to experience other perspectives in the game. You know, a lot of times in coaching, you know, for years and years, there's been this, you know, fear-based perspective around the whole learning thing. You know, you have a lot of other coaches on your show and, you know, people get into their own methodologies, whether it be, you know, a one plane method or a stack and tilt or, you know, a golfing machine. I mean, every coach has, you know, sort of the information base that he or she hangs their hat on. But what we've decided to do is look at learning from a broad perspective. And we've been reaching out to all these coaches, which maybe even have differing points of view from what we necessarily teach on a daily basis. And we're really trying to spread this idea of community amongst coaches and community amongst the teaching business and say, hey, if you want to come down here, if you want to set up a school, if you want to bring a group, then we're going to sit there and we're going to learn and we're going to try and understand why your perspective works for the people that you work with and your how your experience has led to helping people in the game. So it's kind of a cool thing. We're excited about it, and the response has been really good. And I think that the more we work together as coaches, the better the industry is as a whole. And the better the industry is, the better it is for the golfer out there who's trying to engage our services.
So as a golfer, so you know, you have time, you one-on-one time, conversation, meals, things like that. How much time is on the range versus on the course?
It's definitely a little bit more range intensive. I mean, just because when you're trying to make a change, I mean, you got to be able to line a few balls up and go through that process of repetition to be able to do what you're looking for. But we also understand that, you know, people are coming out to Arizona for a vacation, and part of it's learning and part of it's that entertainment aspect of it. And certainly they want to play the golf course. So we'll definitely play the course each day. You know, some days we might play first, some days we might play last, but it's pretty evenly balanced between range time and course time. And, you know, the whole playing lesson thing is something that, again, a lot of facilities don't have the ability to do because they get so busy. And
Well, they wish.
Exactly in this market. But sometimes it's difficult to get a student out on the course, you know, especially if tee times are stacked up one after another, because if you really want to make it a positive learning environment, you know, while you're playing, I mean, you got to be able to stop for 5 minutes and 10 minutes and talk through situations. And, you know, I think the ideal learning environment would be to have a golf academy that has its own three or four holes, you know, just dedicated to the academy. And of course, that's a difficult thing to do as well. But
I was wondering, and do you see a huge difference of golfers going from the range to the course, and what kind of things that you can see about their game and how to enhance it when you're out on the course?
Well, I mean, it's a huge difference from the range to the course.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, here's the big thing. I mean, you're either learning or you're performing. At least you should be. So, for example, when you're on the range, you need to take off your performance cap. You need to get entirely into learning mode, which means trying to change the way that you move, so to speak, in an environment that initially is void of worrying about what the outcome is going to be, so to speak. You know, so for example, as you're going through a technical lesson, there's a process. I mean, if you're slicing the ball, if you're taking deep divots, as I'm starting to work you through changing your ball flight to a draw that takes less divot, you know, we might top a few shots. We might shank a few shots. You know, we might hit a few balls that go twice as far left as they used to go to the right. And that's all part of the process that any coach will take you through until you find that neutral impact and you get the flight you're looking for. And of course, that's not happening in just one swing. And the reason is that when someone's able to hit golf shots that land on target, and I think we talked about this before in the show, they have an even number or a balancing of mistakes, so to speak. So you can hit your target with 0-4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 2 mistakes, but you can't with 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. So my point is that learning is a process, and very likely an instructor is going to fix your ball flight not by changing one thing, but by changing two things or multiple things so that you eventually get back into balance so that you can hit the shots that you want with a swing that's more simple and more repeatable. So when you go to the golf course, you may have made those changes on the range, but you're so eager to shift back into performance mode that all that stuff sometimes just falls right apart, right? Because you don't have the repetitions in to where you develop ownership of the skill. So that's the first thing. You know, getting from the range to the course, you know, is a big mental hurdle for some people. And a lot of times you have to really change in your mind what it means for you to have fun out there that particular day. So for example, if I was taking a lesson on my own golf swing and I was changing my backswing or my downswing or whatever, I would be on the range, I would be swinging at a percentage of my actual full speed, so to speak. I would be looking for a change in the divot, a change in the contact, a change in the flight, and then I would build up gradually to swings that were full size and full speed. Understanding that the faster I went, the more difficult it might be for you to make those changes.
Sure.
Well, so let's say now, you know, it's the afternoon, it's 4 o'clock, I want to go play 9 holes. I've got a decision to make. Either I'm going to go out there on the golf course and still call it a learning environment, or I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shift entirely back to performance. And if I'm at the inception, so to speak, of my learning curve, if I shift into performance, then chances are I'm going to revert back to my old swing. or I'm just going to get a small percentage of the changes that I put in that particular day. Now, if I decide that this nine holes is just a continued learning experience, then I can take more club. I cannot worry so much about where the ball is relative to the target. I can stay in that same learning progression and just enjoy the grass and the birds and the trees and nature. You know what I mean? And just have a go of it because it's still learning mode. But the thing is that if you try and learn and perform at the same time, you're going to do a lousy job of both.
Okay. That makes sense. Sure.
And when you go to the golf course, you know, as a golfer, you're, of course, eager to put your new swing into play, you know. But it takes patience. It takes will. It takes discipline. When someone comes to me for a golf lesson, they say, you know, how long is it going to take for me to stop slicing the ball? And I'll say, hey, we can get you to stop slicing in just a few minutes. You know, we can change your impact and change your flight immediately. That's not an issue. The issue is obtaining ownership over that skill.
Right. And that's what
I know.
Yeah.
With the same level of ownership you have in tying your shoes. I mean, you own that skill, Fred, right? No one's going to take it away from you. And it doesn't matter if you've had too many drinks. It doesn't matter if you're tired. You know, you're going to bend over and you're going to tie your shoes lickety-split. You're not going to have a problem with it. Well, tying your shoes is the same motor skill as hitting a golf ball or playing guitar or whatever. So, you know, when people come in for lessons, so to speak, you know, I show them a big change fast. I get them excited about what the possibilities are. But I definitely let them understand that if they're going to do this at a high level consistently, then you got to put in the work. And that's all about deservingness, and that's all about, you know, just the way things work in this world.
Well, I use Velcro on my shoes. I gave up tying years ago.
You circumvented the system.
Listen, well, we've hit our 30-minute mark, and we are going to continue the conversation. I want to actually pursue this conversation about changing, making changes, and what you say, taking ownership of it, and, you know, and the follow up on that. To me, that's my issue with schools is the follow up, follow through. Once you leave the school. And also, in our next conversation, I would love for you to give me a you know, reporter's viewpoint of this year's PGA show. I know that you were there. So let's continue that. And that will be a members-only episode. And so I invite everybody who's interested in continuing to listen to Jeff, or many of these conversations we've been doing lately have been two-part conversations, and the only way you hear part two is if you join Golf Smarter for members only, and you can do that at golfsmarter.com. So, Jeff, we'll continue this conversation on our next episode, all right?
All right, Fred. Thanks so much.
And thank you for your continued support. Golf Smarter is a listener-supported program, so if you enjoy these conversations and you find value in what you're hearing, then don't miss a single episode. Join Golf Smarter for members only right now at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.